Hello, everyone. Pastor Mock here. We are continuing our study. This is episode 9 on anger, going through John Downham's book, The Cure for Unjust Anger. And last couple times, we've been considering the external and internal causes of unrighteous anger. And in this episode and in the next one, we will look at removing causes of sinful anger. You might recall the internal causes being self-love, pride, covetousness, fastidiousness, vain curiosity, tale-bearing, and lack of meditation of common infirmities. And we're going to look at that list of internal causes in 2 videos. So we'll take the first 4 today and then consider the others next time. Now, what we've been doing is we've just been identifying where our hearts are at and how we typically respond to problems. So we've not gotten to the point where we are putting on. That's where we are now. We were at the put off phase and identification phase. We've identified what kinds of responses we typically do that need to be put off. And we have considered where our hearts incline. And the Bible is not interested in us simply putting off corrupting speech, right? The Lord doesn't want us to simply not be sinfully angry. He wants us to put on speech that is good for the edification of others or for the glory of God. Lord doesn't want the thief to no longer steal, as Ephesians 4:28 says, but rather to labor, right? So we're putting off sinful ways and replacing those ways with righteous ways of living. So that's what we're doing here when we are considering the removal of causes of unrighteous anger. And the first internal cause of unrighteous anger we looked at was self-love. And I'm going to be brief in each of those, in each of these things that we're talking about here. Obviously, there are many passages of scripture that come to mind that we don't have time to talk about. And I'm not giving you a recipe for exactly how to handle every internal cause and how every put on is addressed in detail, but just giving you the general parameters of how we would go about removing, for instance, self-love. So we remove self-love with love for others, right? We banish self-love and we labor for charity. We consider other people. That's the call that Christ gives us. It's to stop loving ourselves and to start loving Christ more and loving others. And because unjust anger is often caused by an overestimation and excessive love of self, The way to subdue and to, Lord willing, you know, oppose and remove that cause of unjust anger is to consider other people more important than ourselves, is to take the posture of a servant who loves, who is being charitable to other people. We put ourselves in their shoes, the ones that we're angry with. We consider what just cause they might have. And we prefer love of others to love of self. That's one way that we can remove this cause of unjust anger, this cause of self-love. Pride is also intimately related to self-love, as we saw. And we combat pride with a labor of humility or laboring for humility. And you'll notice, by the way, that in each of these put-ons, the command is to labor, to work hard at, to strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord, as the author of Hebrews says. Our sanctification is a fight. It takes hard work, God-given work, but it's difficult. So we can't just think, well, I loved that one person over myself in that one incident. I guess I've removed all sinful self-love. It doesn't work that way, and you know it. I know it. And so how we combat pride is we labor for humility. We give ourselves doses of humility daily. We consider scripture like Genesis 18:27. This is a passage that talks about Abraham, who's interceding for Sodom. And the Lord has told him he's going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham intercedes. Abraham is not angry with God. He doesn't think that the Lord is unjust in his future destruction of Sodom. But he does plead with the Lord. And his posture is not of pride, but humility. In Genesis 18:27, for instance, it says, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes." That's how he comes to the Lord. And Psalm 22:6, calls himself a worm. Something similar happens in Job 17:14. As I mentioned in an earlier episode, one of the blessings, one of the new ways of being, new ways of acting in the new covenant from Ezekiel 36 is a self-abhorrence. We will be ashamed of our sinfulness, and we will then hate ourselves because of our sinfulness. There's no room for pride when you have a godly self-hatred because of your sin. When you recognize that you are, that all that you are, that can be, in any sense of the word, good, is entirely due to God, the giver of good gifts. Down on page 42, speaks about this pride. Let me read this brief paragraph. He says, "If blown by the winds of pride and vainglory, the least spark of anger can kindle a raging flame of fury over the fall, over the smallest offense. But those who are humble are not provoked to anger, even when they are neglected." Oftentimes we get angry because we're neglected. They didn't think of us as much as we thought of ourselves. "For their lowly heart makes them think they are unworthy of being highly esteemed." Makes them think that because they are not to be highly esteemed. "Even when they receive an injury, they are ready to think they have deserved it." They're quicker to think, "Yeah, I deserve that," rather than, "I don't deserve that." Why? Either through their similar faults against others or their more heinous sins against God. So if something bad happens to them, to the humble, they're quicker to think, "Yeah, this is right. I deserve this in one sense. How often have I sinned against that person or against others in more heinous ways? And how often have I sinned against God more heinously?" That's humility. Okay. And humility models itself after Christ, who's gentle and lowly. We banish pride by laboring for humility. We banish self-love by laboring for charity. We banish covetousness and fastidiousness, I'll take those together, by laboring for contentment and kind and simple homes. We labor for contentment. Contentment is that joyful submission to your lot in life. It's understanding that every good gift comes from above, and we are not owed anything. And we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1. And so we rest in that we have been given all that we need. So everything that is earthly that could be considered a blessing is just a plus and not a just dessert. We did not deserve it. The more you labor for contentment, the more you understand that God owes you nothing. The more you seek to do what Paul did, was to learn the art of contentment, to know how to abound and how to be brought low. The more you do that, the less covetous your heart will be, the less fastidious your spirit will be, and the more prone you will be to consider Christ and how he would respond. So we approach this labor of love of others and humility and contentment. We approach this hard work with prayer. We wake up daily asking the Lord that he would work a mighty work in our hearts, that we would prefer others to ourselves, that we would practice 1 Corinthians 13 love, that we would model Christ, that we would imitate him, that we would be humble, gentle, lowly of heart. We pray for contentment, that our hearts would not give into greediness. We pray for these things daily. And when we see the temptation, we say a quick prayer. We pray without ceasing. And we confess our sins when we see that our hearts went astray and our actions followed suit, and we sin against others and against God. We confess. We repent. We make a concerted effort to turn away from that kind of living. And then, again, we turn to Christ. We ask him for the strength. We ask him to have his word dwell in us richly. We cultivate love. We cultivate love for God. And we cultivate love for others. These are the kinds of things that we do through the help of the Spirit as we seek to remove causes of unrighteous anger. Next time, as I said, we'll look at the final three of the causes of unrighteous anger: vain curiosity, talebearing, and lack of meditation of common infirmities. Hope this was helpful. I hope that you are stirred up to go to the throne of grace and pray to the Lord for the help that your soul and my soul need. See you later.